heard that there are probably thousands of prophecies of various ways, of various things, of various people, various nations that were spoken of the Lord. Many, many have already been fulfilled and come true. Many, many are yet to be fulfilled in the future days. So the Lord speaks things. He prophesies, if you will, through His uses His servants about people, places, things, dates, and so forth. But would it be a surprise to you to know that the Lord has spoken something about you also? He loves you so much that He didn't just randomly choose you or select you out of all of the population of the earth, but He had a purpose when He chose you. And He's spoken something about your life. Well, we know the Bible teaches us that famously quoted verse, Jeremiah 29:11, that He says, "I know the plans that I have for you, the future that I have for you." And I don't know about you, but it just thrills my heart to know that God's got a future for me. Because the enemy would like to think us to think that there is no future for us, that life is over, that there is no tomorrows. But God says, "I've got a plan, and I've spoke a thing. I've spoke a word about you." And so let's look, if you will, in the Bible, verse 18 in Matthew chapter 1. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.' Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.' Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Turn over to chapter 2 and look over, if you will, in verse 13. I know I did not get this. This is not going to be on the screen for you, so just look in your Bible, Matthew 2, verse 13. "And when they, speaking of the wise men, were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" You need to probably underline that, "to destroy him. "And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not.'" You may be seated, and may God add the blessings to the reading of His word. When I read that text that we just read in those final verses, my heart is very overwhelmed as we try to imagine what it must have been like in this day. We see in this text that Jesus was born. The visit was made of the wise men sometime later. And immediately after that, Herod, out of fury, because he knew that something was up. He knew that there was some kind of excitement in the air. He knew that there was that God was unveiling his glory. God was He was up to something. He was bringing the hope of the world into existence. And Herod, knowing that there was talk, that there was chatter about what was taking place, in fury issued this order that all the male children from 2 years age under to be slaughtered. Not just in Bethlehem, but in all of the surrounding areas, in all of the surrounding regions. Now just put yourself in that setting for a moment. Imagine if just within this church this morning, if our government ordered the slaying of all of our children 2 years age and under, what kind of weeping would there be just in this sanctuary today? Imagine if all the children in Franklin County 2 years age and under were slaughtered and killed and murdered today. There would not be a place in this county where you could go where there would not be weeping and wailing and crying because of children who had been taken from their home and murdered. There would not be a store that you could walk into. There would not be a house that you would not be a house to visit where there would not be somebody crying and weeping because of the murder and the massacre that had taken place. Are you in that setting now? This is not a fairy tale. It's not a Dr. Seuss story, but this was the real history that has been recorded in the Word of God. Now imagine, if you will, you've given birth to baby Jesus as Mary had. And instead of being able to celebrate that birth, she is now having to run and hide as a result of Herod's edict to slay all of the male children 2 and under. There's no baby showers, there's no phone calls, there's no visits, because Mary has to take young Jesus and hide him and make a treacherous, dangerous journey down into Egypt, where she probably found refuge with a bunch of Jews that occupied Egypt at the time. And then imagine if as every knock on the door come, she could not run with that baby tucked under her arm, but she would have to hide that baby and try to hush baby Jesus and steal him till they could find out who was at the door. So we celebrate Christmas, and we see all of the joy and the happiness and all of the peace that surrounds the occasion and the holiday. But let's not remember the events that took place in that day. Why did it all happen? Well, it happened for me and for you. But we read in the Bible, as this edict from Herod was handed down, that this was not the last attempt on the life of Jesus. Hang on, I'm going somewhere. There were many other attempts on the life of Jesus. This with Herod was only the first. The next attempt on the life of our Lord that's recorded in Scripture, we don't know about all of the ones that were not recorded in Scripture, but the next that's recorded in Scripture was in the temptation of Jesus, in that second temptation. You remember that? Where he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights. He was tempted of the devil. The first temptation, the devil said, take these stones and make them bread if you are God, if you are who you say you are. The second temptation, the Bible says that the devil took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, okay, now if you're God, throw yourself down from off that temple pinnacle and save yourself. That was the second attempt on the life of our Lord. There were others found in Scripture. In fact, we go on through Scripture and you'll see that as Jesus was preaching in the synagogue, there are some names that I could bring into this pulpit that we would have to set out chairs for all of the crowd that would come to hear these certain preachers that I could bring in. But imagine being there where Jesus is preaching at. My, what a time, what a sermon, what a message, as the Word brings the Word. Amen? Well, he was preaching in the synagogue, and some of the Jews just didn't like his preaching. And they were mad. And so they grabbed him by the clothing, by the collar, if you will, and drug him up to the top of this hill outside of town. And there on the edge of a cliff, they were going to try to throw him off and kill him. But the Bible says that he made his way through the crowd and he made an escape. He slipped away. It wasn't his time yet. The other time that Jesus was preaching, we find over in John chapter 8, and the Bible specifically says that he was preaching to Jews who believed in him. We're not talking about to the abortionist crowd or the gay rights crowd. We're not talking about to unbelievers. We're not talking about to drunkards or the bar crowd. Jesus was preaching to Jews who believed in him. But as he preached, they got mad and they got furious. And the Bible says they took up stones to stone him. But again, he made his way through the crowd because it was not his time yet. The next time he was preaching on Solomon's porch and the portico, and the Bible again says that he made the crowd so mad with his preaching. See, Jesus was radical. He was bringing new truths. And he was truth. And when it comes right down to it, sometimes we just don't want to hear the truth. But he was preaching truth. And again, they pick up stones in an effort to murder him, to kill him. Because see, Jesus was God's plan. Jesus, he was and he is the hope of the world, to save the world from their sins. I heard a preacher one time with my own ears, and here's what he said. He said, Jesus was God's plan B. He said the Jews was God's plan A, but because they rejected God, God brought Jesus onto the scene as his plan B. I want you to understand something. That's not in the Bible. Jesus was always God's plan A. Jesus was always the hope of the world, and he is today. So he was all of the hope of the world, and through his entire life, there was attempts to murder him. The final attempt, as recorded in Scripture on the life of our Lord, as we all know, was on Calvary's Hill, where he was arrested, condemned as a criminal, nailed to a tree, lifted up, to die for my sins and your sins. And I am sure that all of hell, as he took his last breath, I am sure all of hell rejoiced that they had taken the life of the Messiah, that the hope of the world was not no more. But what they didn't know is that they had slew the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. And that 3 days later, he would arise just like he said he would. And that he's alive today and he's alive forevermore. So that was another failed attempt on the life of our Lord. And what I'm trying to get you to see now, I just want you to understand that when God fills a man with purpose and with destiny, I believe the devil can look at a man. And he too sees that destiny or that potential, if you will. What about Mary? What about her? I mentioned this time last year, probably almost one of the same Sunday this time last year, about the life of Mary and her hardships. But what about Mary? What about her being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost as in the text we read and had that miraculous conception take place in her womb? The Bible speaks about Joseph willing to put her away privately, give her a bill of divorcement privately. But she could have also been stoned according to the law. Did you know that? She could have been stoned and killed for that crime of apparent adultery. See, we know the story. Joseph didn't at the time. And so she could have been stoned, but then she faced the humiliation, the rejection from family and friends and community. Just bearing baby Jesus during those months, that was enough during that time to have taken her life. And then there was the census to take place, and they traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, some 80 or 90 miles. She could not walk. The doctor today would not let you on the ninth month take a long trip across the country. She probably rode on a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That alone should have caused her to abort baby Jesus. See, I believe the enemy knew what was taking place. Just her having baby Jesus in a barn, or if you will, in a cave, in a manger. The mortality rate of birth during that time, it was upward of 50% because of the conditions of the day and the lack of medical technology, if you will. So many different times and many different ways, both Jesus and Mary could have died at the hands of the enemy. Are you with me? I'm not stretching anything here. We're trying to put it in historical context and put it in the reality of the day. See, I believe that the enemy, that he could look at Mary, and she had been prepared her whole life. Mary was set apart. Mary was, if you will, chosen by God. She was anointed. In fact, if you go read Mary's song where she rejoices in God, her Savior, she quotes some 15 different Old Testament passages of Scripture. Mary was not a random choice by God. Mary had been obviously raised and was walking in the way of the Lord, and God looked at her and said, "There's something about that girl that I'm going to choose her to bear my son and bring him into this world." And God chose her. I believe the enemy sensed that. Now watch this. Here's where I'm going. I don't really have a message this morning. I just have a thought. Here's what I believe, and I don't know why, but I'm going to particularly focus this, Josh, on our young people. I believe that for every young person, I believe for everybody in this church, I'll just cover it like that to begin with, but I believe for each young person in this church, I believe that God has a plan for you. I believe God's got a purpose for you. I believe it's not random. I believe it's not just luck of the draw. I believe it's not according to your ability or your inabilities. I believe it doesn't matter how much talent you have or how much talent you lack. I believe that if God is letting you sit in this church this morning and breathe the air, the breath of life that He's giving you, then I believe that God has got a purpose and a destiny and a plan for you. And I believe you need to recognize that today. Somebody needs to tell you that. Mom and Daddy, you need to be breathing that word into the life of your child daily and frequently. And I know as mom and daddies, we have to call our children down and we have to correct them and we have to tell them no. There was a time when we were raising the girls that I thought for sure that one or both of them would think that their name was no, because I felt like that's all we said was no, no, no. But I understand we have to parent, but as we parent, let's whisper purpose into their life. Let's speak over them destiny. Let's speak over them God's got a plan. God's got a future. God's got an end for you. And it involves hope, and it involves promise, and it involves blessing, and it involves favor. So young people, listen to me. You're wandering around aimless, and you're wondering if sometimes is there even a tomorrow. You're wondering, why on earth am I here? You need to hear me. God has spoken over you. Oh, His will, His purpose, His plan. God declared that. Preacher, how do you know that? I know that because God chose you. And that even before you were ever even born, God knew you. That while God was putting all of your parts together inside your mother's womb, God chose you. That God let you have life. That God saved you. That God set you apart. That God ordained you. That God has brought you here this morning on Sunday morning and let you hear this word from God's word. That's how I know God has a plan for you. Now watch this. When I look at young people, Josh, I see that potential in them. There is not a young person in this church, nor an old person, nor a middle-aged person. There's not a young person in this church who I cannot look at and see potential written all over them. I see that in all of our young people. You say, now, preacher, you really don't know that. You don't know that young man. You don't know that young lady. Let's dig up your past and open up your closet when you was about that age. We really want to go there? We'll pass on that part and call it grace. Call it mercy. How's that? There's not a young person not a young person in this church that I can't look at and see potential. And I want you to understand something. If I, as mortal man with fleshly eyes, can look at our young people and see potential all in them, don't you think the enemy can do the same thing? That he sees that there's potential in it. The very fact they're in church on Sunday morning, 2018, when they could be in a million other places, doing a million other things, but they're here. The enemy knows. The enemy knows that there's potential. And so young people, listen. So what the enemy does, and some of us have been down this path, but what the enemy does is he tries to kill potential before it is unveiled in our life. He tries to kill God's promises before we have a chance to live in those promises. And so he leads us down other paths apart from God. And I want you to understand something, young folks. There is no blessing in any other path apart from walking in the will of God and the way of God. The enemy may deceive you and may make you think that life is good, but the enemy is kissing you so that he may kill you one day. The enemy, I do believe, can lead you down a road where he could literally, physically kill you. I believe the enemy could lead you down a road to a premature death and a premature grave. I believe our cemeteries are full of people who are laying in a premature grave. Are you with me? Say amen. So I believe the enemy can lead you down that path. But sometimes I wonder if maybe the most horrible end would be that he don't lead us down a path that literally physically kills us, but he leads us down a path that allows us to remain alive even into old age. But because we've made these choices and continued on this destructive path, all of God's plans have been killed in our life. All of God's destiny and all of God's dreams for us and all of the potential God put in us has been put in the grave. Because time after time, God has spoke to us, don't go there, don't say this, don't do that, don't try that. And we continue to follow that path. And we continue to follow those people. There'll always be a crowd who's rushing headlong straight to hell and in a hurry to get there. And you've got to make a decision, young people. Do I really want all that God has for me? If he really is God, and he is, if he made the world and all that is in it, and he did, if he created all the splendors of heaven, and he did, he spoke it into existence, if he sent his son in this wonderful, amazing story of salvation, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on Calvary for me and for all of the world, and he's able to save to the uttermost all of them that come to God by him. If he's really all of that, then God has got this plan for me, and God has got this dream for me, and God has got this future for me. If God's all of that, then I want it, preacher. I want to know what it is. I want to experience, I want to walk in the favor of God. So that was the life of Mary, and subsequently the life of Jesus. The enemy tried to cut off before it ever began. the wonderful redemption of mankind. And that's what he'll try to do with your life. Not just young, but 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever age you are. And so this morning I come, and our question is, so what do we do? What do we do? If we know God has favored us, and he has, young folks. If we know that God has chose us, and he has. If we know that God has a purpose for us, and he does. If we know that inside of us, God has just put inside of us all of this potential, that in his time, if we follow him, he's going to unveil it. If we know God's put inside of us all of that, if we know God chose us, if we know God chose us, formed us, put us together, give us life, saved us, set us apart, and has ordained us to walk in his will so that the amazing will and destiny of God can be unleashed in us, then what do we do here today? Well, I tell you what you need to do, number one. Is number one, you need to be willing to seek it. You need to be willing to seek it. You need to be willing to long for it. You need to be willing to pant after it. You need to write it down on a piece of paper and stick it on your wall and in some form or fashion where it says, God has saved me, God has called me, and God's got a plan for me. And I will not let up, give up, quit, back up, compromise. Step out of the will of God. Step away from the word of God. Follow the wrong crowd. I will not do these things until God gives me that which he's promised me. His will and his blessing. You need to be willing to pant after it. To seek it. Number two, I'm going to tell you something. God, I think everything God does in the world, he does through his church. I believe that. Christ died for the church. He loved it so much. That speaks magnitudes about how God feels about the church. We don't feel that way about the church many times. Church can come, church can go, we can be there, we cannot, so forth. True? Amen? Listen to me, young folks. Josh, listen. 9 out of 10 of our children, 9 out of 10 when they turn 18, they leave the church and never come back. 9 out of 10 leave the church and never come back. Used to be in my age, I'm 47, my generation, at 18, we left the church. We went out and sowed our wild oats. We got all that out of us. We got settled in life, and then we come back to the Lord by his grace. We come back to the church today. It's not happening like that. Today they leave and they never come back. That is a church of adults, grown people. That is a church of folks. It ought to scare us to death as a church. It ought to concern us, burden us, grieve us, put us on our knees to pray. But young people, listen to me. Many of your peers are going to leave church one day when they turn 18. You don't have to be those people. You ought to commit your life to the church. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be through the ministry of the church that God's going to unveil his plans. It's going to be through a song that's sung, through a word spoken by a dear saint in the church. It's going to be by a sermon that's preaching. God's going to point you, direct you, shape you, mold you, and make you what you need to be so when the time is right, God can reveal everything. And my last plea is this. My last plea is that as young people, let me say this. My last plea is that we as moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, that we look at these young folks seated all over this church, and that we realize how dangerous this world is for them. Now, I'm not just speaking about physically. Of course, it is absolutely dangerous when it comes to the ways of the world and the roads they could go down, the choices they could make with alcohol, with drugs, with different relationships that are poisonous for them. Yes, it's dangerous physically for them, absolutely. But I'm speaking this morning about the spiritual danger that lays in front of them. We must realize how that the enemy has them in their crosshairs. Do you understand that? I'm 47. Those of you who are older, you have made your mind up. You have set your feet on the rock and you have decided, I'm following the Lord. This is what I'm doing. I may have got out of His will in earlier times. I may have walked away from Him in my teenage years and young adulthood. But God has saved me and given me a purpose and a direction, and I'm not going anywhere now by the grace of God. I am going to follow and be a servant of the Lord Jesus. We've made our minds up. But for our young people, they're still being tempted and offered other choices, other paths daily, sometimes multiple times daily. Their future has not been set yet as firm as ours has. So we need to recognize the danger that faces them every day, spiritually speaking. They should become priority for us in our words, our actions, our prayers, everything we do. We need to be reminded that just as God has put potential in them, the enemy sees that and knows that. Let me tell you something. Within this body of Christ right now, there's world changers. Within this body of Christ and these young people right here, there's some preachers that will one day be called to preach. They don't know it yet. When I was 17, 18, 19, I didn't know it. They don't know it yet. But in God's time, it's coming. These preachers, these missionaries maybe, these preachers' wives, these deacons, these singers, soloists, these some prayer warriors being raised up. None of these others could be possible without somebody praying behind the scenes. And some of the greatest servants I know in the church are people who've never seen or heard. Their name's not in the bulletin. They never occupy stage, and yet they're the greatest service the church has ever known. There's some of them being raised right now in this church and these young people. The church needs these people within its midst. So they're here. And we've got to realize that, and we've got to know that the enemy sees that. And it'll be his purpose, it'll be his plan to stop it before it ever comes to pass. Just like he did in the life of Mary, and then again, just like he did in the life of Jesus all the way to the end. And so where do we go from here? Girls, you can come to the piano if you see fit. Play or sing or whatever you'd have to do. And so what do we do at this point in the service, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you number one. Number one is for all of our young folks, from this front pew all the way to the back, wherever you're seated around these walls or in these pews or up and down these aisles. I want you to understand. I want you to believe in your heart that God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And maybe you're middle-aged. And maybe you're just wondering, why am I even here? Why is there even a tomorrow for me? You need to know God's still got a plan for you. It's not too late. If God's still on his throne, and he is, and he always will be, he's got a plan for you. But young people, I want you to know, yeah, God has that plan. Is it just going to happen? I can do nothing and it's just going to happen? It don't work like that. See, there's this erroneous thought within the body of Christ. I've heard it more times than one where people will say, well, you know, God's will is just going to happen. God's will is just going to happen. Roger, it don't work like that. Had I wanted to, I could have got up this morning and went to the liquor store and bought a bottle of liquor and been laying drunk somewhere today. God could have killed me before I got there, but you know what? He would probably let me done that if I wanted to do. That's not God's will. God's will is for me to be right here doing what I'm doing today. And so just to say, well, God's will be done no matter what we do. No, that's not true. You got to follow the word of God, walk in the will of God. Then God's will come to be to come to pass in your life. So listen to me, young folks. God has got a destiny for you. And if you don't have any dreams, Joseph had some dreams here. He had some dreams. Get yourself some dreams that God has given you. Let God speak to you about your tomorrows. He won't give it all to you on the first load because you can't handle it right now, but he'll give you something. Had God told me when I was 19 and God was dealing with me out of conviction about being saved and even the call to preach, had God told me that this is where I would be today at 47, I'd probably fell over dead with a heart attack then. But God give it to me a little at a time, a little at a time, in his time, in the fullness of time. And just as Herod sought to destroy Jesus, the enemy will seek to destroy you. Maybe there's some young person in here who you've already made a fatal step or two in the wrong direction, a potentially fatal step or two in the wrong direction. And you're worried that what you've already done is going to stop what God has planned. You can change that right here today. You can turn from that right here today. Yeah, I believe if you're breathing the breath of life, it's not too late for you to get in God's way, walk in God's will, and let God unleash his plan and his purpose for you. And so you need to realize that, and you need to be willing to pant for it and long for it, and you need to come in just a minute to this altar. And number one, let me say, if you have never been saved, I'm not asking when you did you get a certificate from Bible school, because that don't save you. I'm not asking you, have you ever been baptized, sprinkled, or whatever the case may be. I'm not asking you that, because that does not save you either. I'm not asking you if you signed some kind of Baptist creed, because that does not save you either. I'm not asking you, did you have perfect attendance in Sunday school? That will not. I'm asking you, has there ever been a time when you one-on-one, God spoke to your heart and you realized you was lost, you needed to be saved, and you prayed from your heart, God, please save my soul. I believe Jesus died for me, and I don't want to die and go to hell. I need to be saved, save my soul. So if you're here and you've never been saved, you need to come find me. You need to come straight to me and say, I want what God has for me, but I've never been saved. And I know I need to be saved today, preacher. And I want to be. I want to be. But then the rest of you young folks who you know you saved, you need to find your way to this altar and say, preacher, I want it all. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to slip to the left or to the right, but I want to walk in God's way, in God's will, and I want everything God has for me. I want it all, preacher. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. And in moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, I pray your heart will be turned, that your heart will be turned to pray in a hedge around them that the enemy can't get through. That if he's going to touch them, he has to climb a wall before he can get there. A wall of prayer. I remember a certain place in my ministry where God was really starting to deal with me. I didn't know exactly about what, but I just felt like something big was about to happen. And I don't dream much about the things God's doing in my life and in the church. Mostly when I dream, it's usually crazy stuff like you dream. Some kind of crazy, you know, I don't know, walking down the road running to a pink elephant or something, whatever. You know, eat Taco Bell at 10 o'clock at night, that'll do that to you. Many other things too, but anyway. Mirror point my ministry that God was starting, and I'd had a dream or two about these services that were just unbelievable services where the church was packed and people were standing and God was moving. And I knew that it wasn't just dreams. I knew something was going on. One of my deacons called me one day, very near and dear to me. We were very, very close. And he called me and it was just a general conversation. And then we turned to talking about the church and the Lord, and man, my heart was just bursting within myself with these things God was giving me. I didn't know all the details. I didn't know the whats, the whens, and all of that. I just knew I'd had some dreams, and it was good. And I could just feel, even though I had no answers, I just felt inside of me a stirring. That's the only way I can describe it. I had a stirring in my heart that God was up to something. And I just remember kind of breaking down on the phone with him and began weeping. I couldn't even talk. I told him, I said, I don't know what's going to happen. And I said, I don't know what God's doing, but I said, I'm going to tell you something, brother. All I know is I don't want to miss it. Is I don't want to miss it. See, I missed enough in my lifetime. I wasted enough of my lifetime. I walked carelessly enough in my lifetime. And I knew from that day on I didn't want to miss it. And the things that I saw after that, that God did, not just one thing, but how over and over those things I had dreamed, they were coming to pass. And they were more glorious in reality than they were in my dreams. And all I knew and all I could say was, I said, Brother Danny, I just don't want to miss it. And so I sought him and I followed him, and by the grace of God, I didn't miss it. And so I think that's why you're here this morning. It's because maybe you've just been a little stray. Maybe you've not been as focused. Maybe you've been walking right, but you just have not been as focused on God's plan as you should. Ever keeping that in front of you, that God's got something for me. That God's got laid up for me, something for me, and nobody else can have it because it's not for him or her or them or they, but it's for me. Today's the day to get focused on that. And to declare in your heart of hearts unto the Lord, Lord, I know you got it for me. And I don't want to miss it. So is that you today? Because if that's you, if you're on the back pew, I want you to run these aisles and make your way to this altar. If you're in the middle, shove somebody out of your way and come down these aisles and get in this altar and say, God, I don't want to miss it. I know you put it in me because I feel the stirrings of something great. And I don't want to miss it. I'm going to ask you to stand. Girls, go ahead and sing. And you come at this time and come quickly.